say hello to Floyd Little and Jim Brown, Sean Tucker in the Orange record books with his fifth touchdown of the game.
All across CNY.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
It's the 3-1-5.
Hardy faking, feeds the crease, Jameson.
He scores! He scores!
Here's Brian Higgins.
Oh, welcome in on this Thursday. How's everybody doing out there in the Cuse, Utica, Rome, wherever you may be? CuseSportsTalk.com. Hello. Lots to get to today. Big doings last night, of course, at long last, up in Toronto with Aaron Judge hitting 61. Get into that here in a little bit. A little gambling, a little fantasy here on a Thursday. Set you up for the NFL game tonight. See if there's anything interesting that you might be able to take advantage of with that one this evening. Bengals hosting Dolphins. Dolphins just had the big win against the Bills in a wild game on Sunday. Bengals off to a bit of a sluggish start after making it to the Super Bowl last season. We'll see if any of that turns around. This evening, we'll be joined by Alex Caruso from Fantasy Pros and the Fresh Fantasy Podcast coming up at 2:30 today for all your fantasy football talk. 3 o'clock, Connor Allen will join us. He is the sports betting manager at 444, a 444 website that has lots and lots of deep, detailed statistical information when it comes to gambling, fantasy, and all that stuff. So Alex at 2:30, Connor at 3. And then an hour and a half from now, if you do not have tickets to the Wagner football game, Houston Wagner, homecoming, 5 o'clock Saturday, JMA Wireless Dome, you are in luck. 3:30 trivia to give away some tickets to the game on Saturday. So all of that coming up on the program here today. But we start today kind of how we have started the show a lot recently, and that is the quest of one Aaron Judge to hit more homers, be it 60 or now 61, officially tying Roger Maris for the 8th most home runs in a single season in baseball history. We kind of talked yesterday about the idea that, yeah, okay, if you want to acknowledge or not the steroid guys, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, and the 6 seasons they combined for, that is more than what Judge has currently produced. Do what you will. But the 73 of Bonds is still the record. The whole thing about it being the American League home run record. Yes, that is factually accurate. That is also not a thing. Who has the NFC record for touchdown passes? Exactly. So, despite it being not a thing record-wise, Aaron Judge hitting 61 last night is a thing. Big thing. People watch, people care. What I wonder today, though, is how much do you care about it in spite of maybe reasons in your sporting past to actively either not care about it or root against it? My question today is with somebody like Aaron Judge, like the Yankees are a team that you have an opinion on. One way or another, where we're talking right now, lots of people have a very pro-Yankee opinion. We're Syracuse. This is primarily a Yankees fan area. Obviously, we have, you know, a decent chunk of Mets fans. And my goodness, I do not know how many Mets fans I follow on Twitter. It is a lot. There are a lot of people I follow that apparently are Mets fans that are living and dying with it this year, and as the Mets try to end their World Series drought going back to 86. So good luck to all the Mets fans out there that were in it last night with the Mets extra innings win, and getting themselves the division lead back in a tight race down the stretch with the Braves. Big series coming up this weekend with the Mets in Atlanta, hurricane dependent. But everyone has an opinion on the Yankees. Who out there is just like, oh yeah, the Yankees, they're all right? Nobody. You love the Yankees or you hate the Yankees. Which makes it interesting when a Yankee is chasing this home run mark. Back in 1998, McGuire, Sosa, two guys. You know, I feel most people kind of picked one to root for, but in most people's minds, I feel the McGuire and Sosa thing was all in good fun. Regardless, it was nobody was really rooting against one of the guys for the most part. You know, Bonds by 01, he is a singularity guy that, you know, a lot of people just dislike Bonds, and even more so after the steroids and the whole thing. But even then, before you knew it, Bonds is, you know, a surly guy and the standoffish and the whole thing. And, you know, compared to his main contemporary throughout the 90s for the title of best player in baseball, Ken Griffey Jr., who everybody loved, you know, people just didn't like Bonds. But still, you watched because it was compelling with him going for the home run record. So my question today for everybody out there is, when somebody is on a team that you don't like, and the Yankees will fall in that category for many, do you still root for the history? Like, the Aaron Judge thing is compelling, but if you're a Yankee hater, were you rooting for Judge to get 61? Now, I can't say I have a very unique or wild list of teams I don't like, but the Yankees are on it. If I'm going to have a team I'm a fan of in baseball, it is the Red Sox. So, you know, I'm anti-Yankees. My list of teams I don't like, this is not exactly like a shocking list. I imagine many of you have similar lists of teams you don't like, or you're amongst the group that these are the teams you like. The Yankees, the Cowboys, Notre Dame, Duke. I didn't reinvent the wheel with disliking those teams. You know, if you're a Syracuse fan, toss on UConn and Georgetown. I'm picking up a recent dislike over the ACC tenure of Syracuse for NC State, more so than any of the other schools in the league. Hard to put a finger on it, but there's just something more annoying about NC State than the other new schools that Syracuse have been tasked with playing over the course of the last decade in a variety of stuff. That's how rivalries get born. You just somehow find a general dislike for the other team over time, and it gets fired up. And I found the NC State experience more distasteful than most when it comes to the league. But I generally find myself rooting for history, regardless of who is trying to attain it. Say what you want about Bonds back in 01, and nobody was guessing steroids yet then. Even if you didn't like Bonds, who wasn't rooting for that? Who was rooting against seeing more home runs? And I find myself rooting for Judge here over the course of the last month. Yeah, hit as many as you can. Let's go. 70 always seemed way out of reach, but yeah, get it in the 60s. See where you can go. How high can you get on this single season list? How memorable can you make this season? Moments like this in sports are cool, regardless, for me anyway, if you like the team that the guy's playing for or not. Or even if you like the guy or not. And Judge seems perfectly likable. This is not an Aaron Judge comment, but, you know, Bonds fits more in that column than Judge. But that's what I got to thinking about. Do you root for somebody who is on the team you don't like to break records? And how much do you pay attention to it when the records do get broken or whatever they are? Roger Maris Jr., you are free to go home now after your week journey following Aaron Judge around. And here's how it sounded last night, first on YES Network with Michael Kay.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
You know, any play-by-play person, certainly one that's like Michael Kay or Sterling that's been doing this for a long time, you know, as spontaneous as you try to be when this has been the thing for a week or longer, you have no, scripted or not, there is no way you haven't been running through your head for a month what you're going to say in this moment. I feel Michael Kay said what he wanted to say, then almost had to shoehorn on in the American League at the end just to, you know, get that in there. But there was a Kay last night on Yes. You know, Michael Kay's calls are always very Michael Kay, and John Sterling's calls are always very John Sterling.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single-season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
Neither of them got an all-rising. Maybe that's only for Yankee Stadium games. I'm not sure of Yankee home run call rules. But, you know, as expected, they're both perfectly fine jobs by Kay and Sterling. And, you know, we've detailed how John kind of had been on a bit of a hiatus, but made sure to get back there to be there for the games, and what kind of wrangling behind the scenes there was to potentially get Kay and where he needed to be for to be on the air to call these games and Yes Network on the air and the whole thing. But, you know, that's my question for you today. And certainly give a ring if you want, 315-437-7644 for ESPN 44. Do you root for history even if you do not like the team the history is going to be occurring on? And I think what mainly I've determined here over the course of the last month is yes, I've always been like a big event sports guy. You know, you watch football and all this stuff all year long, and it's great. But none of these events type things happen on an NFL Sunday. The NFL records, while meaningful, aren't home run records. Home run records for years have been, you know, devalued of late, but the record of record, at least in the stick and ball sports, the big four. But when you think about things like the major one where I think people root for the moment and root for the records and the whole thing is the Olympics. It's once every 4 years. And it's planting a flag at a moment in history, and a moment in history that it's specific. There's a four-year delineation each time. It's one where, oh, 100-meter dash is coming up. Then I remember the previous ones. Well, let's fire up Wikipedia. Let's go look at the previous world records. Can anyone set one? And, wow, that Usain Bolt was great. Can anybody do anything like that tonight? Or, you know, in the pool, man, Michael Phelps, all these things. You think about it every 4 years. You know, when there's 162 games, it is unusual to have moments like this where you can think back on 1961, 61 years ago in the chase that Roger Maris was in. I find that in a similar way, other sports that set themselves up for that, while they are week-in, week-out sports, the way they are more paid attention to is four times each year. It's tennis and golf and the major events. And how, yeah, you can win any tournament you want in February or the middle of May or this week. And they matter. And you win a lot of money. And people watch. But if you win a major in golf, it's history. Did you get your first? Do you have more than one? It doesn't matter who wins. Every one of them creates history. Same thing in tennis, and it's been the other side in tennis because three guys have won most of them for the last 15 years. But legitimately, every major now for a decade in tennis has started the who is the greatest player of all time debate between Roger Federer, who's now officially retired as of the weekend, Rafa Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. And, you know, in the tennis world, does that debate get a little tired? I suppose. But at the same time, man, every time it comes up, you get to think of all the great history and all the great moments. And regardless of which of those three is your guy, and you know, all tennis fans have one of those three as their guy, it gives you something to root for and something to think about. This is what I feel has happened with now baseball here in the last week, except it's different because the guy is on the Yankees, and maybe not within the sound of my voice, but so many out there that are beyond the sound of our voice here in Syracuse in the Northeast, hate the Yankees. And my guess is that a lot of them were still rooting for Aaron Judge to do what he did last night. And whatever he's going to do now over the next seven games until the finish of the season, Yankees off tonight and then 7 more to go. And we talked about it to start the show yesterday. What is Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge going to do? And they did one of the scenarios I suggested. Basically, clinched the division, played everyone that didn't matter yesterday except Judge, who led off and DH'd. So, a less active night, just had a few at-bats. Leadoff walk was helpful to some. But that could be how they approach it the rest of the way. How many times does he actually need to go to the outfield? Where he's played very well in this season, but how many times does he need to go to the outfield down the stretch? Again, the Yankees don't need to win any of these games. And you don't have to root for the Yankees to win any of these games, I think, to root for Aaron Judge to continue making history. So to the moon. See how many more you can hit over the next week. Hopefully he plays in all these games and gets a few more. Get to 62, at least. Once you get to 63, now you are to the numbers that Sosa and McGuire got in those years. 73's out of range. 70's out of range. You only got 7 games left. That would be quite a stretch. So hopefully at this point, Judge gets some pitches down the stretch, maybe hits a few more, and more history happens. Because I find myself rooting for history, even if it is not happening on a team that I care to root for, which is my main takeaway anyway about what you learn about watching sports here over the course of the last month with what Aaron Judge has been able to accomplish. All right, let's hit a break now. We'll get some fantasy football and some gambling over the course of the day today. Alex Caruso of Fantasy Pros and the Fresh Fantasy Podcast is on the way at 2:30. 3 o'clock is Connor Allen. He is the betting manager at 4 for 4 and does a lot with the NFL, mainly focusing on the NFL. There's an NFL game tonight. We'll talk to Connor about that and what to look out for of this weekend and what he has seen, any trends, anything developing over the first third of the season. 3:30 today. If you want tickets to Syracuse and Wagner, we got a pair. They could be yours. We'll do a little trivia coming up at 3:30. Immediately next, we will spin the wheel. See what one Bob Costas has thought about all of this home run talk. Bob is never shy from putting history and all of that in perspective. We'll take a little listen to some things he said earlier today. When we come back, glad to have you along here. All across Central New York, it's the 315 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. All across Central New York, it's the 315 with Brian Higgins.
Rolling along here on this Thursday afternoon. It is Thursday. We had debate about this earlier today. Nobody could remember what day of the week it was. We've settled on Thursday. Hopefully we're all correct. That would mean there's football tonight. Bengals. Dolphins. Dolphins got up to Cincinnati early for the game due to Hurricane Ian. I guess their walkthrough yesterday, they were practicing at the University of Cincinnati, got filmed and put out there. I don't know how much the Bengals really need help on discerning the Dolphins' game plan. Tua's going to throw it to Waddle and throw it to Hill. But that's not good. Though, if they were at Nippert Stadium, like, it's really easy. I know they've done renovations there, but back when they were in the Big East and Syracuse would play there all the time, like, Nippert Stadium is probably the easiest stadium I've ever been to wander into completely by accident. It is just built right into campus, and you can be walking down the sidewalk. Hey, there's the concession stand. I'm in the stadium. So you could have almost filmed it by accident, I suppose. I'm sure that's not what happened, but you get the gist. But as we move on throughout our day here today, let's find out what people were saying about Aaron Judge.
It's time to spin the wheel. Let's spin the random wheel.
Today's random wheel of sound has landed on one Bob Costas. Bob always has thoughts on home run things, and I would say this is actually a bit restrained for Bob this morning. He's with Greeny and just general thoughts on the home run record and what it all means.
You detail all these things, primarily day ball, entirely day ball, primarily night ball, cross-country travel, expansion, all of those things. Analytics would be part of it. And then prominently among those differences would be the so-called steroid era, in which statistics, especially power statistics, out of whack in the eras that immediately preceded and followed, occurred. Consider all these things to whatever extent you wish as you read through the numbers that are reflected, the raw numbers that are reflected in Baseball Reference or the Baseball Encyclopedia. I think that's the best that they can do.
So Bob is not an immediate throw out Bonds as the home run record guy. Or the Maguire-Sosa season or all that stuff, or basically anything that happened specifically in those years from 98 to 01, and certainly it was lasted longer than that. But here's what he makes of that group, of the Maguire-Sosa-Bonds specifically group.
People put that cluster of seasons that includes every 60-plus home run season not involving Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and now Aaron Judge, they put it in a different place. They're not necessarily condemning those guys. Product of the time, lots of guys would have done it. Past Hall of Famers of previous generations have said, hey, if it was available and I needed it and people were getting a competitive advantage over me, I might have done it. It's not a question of morality or criminality, but it is a question of authenticity. And to one extent or another, what Maguire, Sosa, and Bonds did was inauthentic.
But still the record, I think, is what all will agree here. Like, Aaron Judge now has tied for the American League home run record, which, again, while impressive, not a thing. Not going to get the major league record, but does not take away at all from what Judge has been able to accomplish this season and what he has done, I think, captivating the sporting world here over the last few weeks, which, given the current state of baseball, is, in many ways, accomplishment enough in itself that he... In this football season, and we're going to talk football gambling and fantasy football today, if you want to know why it's football season and why we do all this stuff during baseball stretch run and home run records and all of that, because that's what all of us are doing more than baseball right now for the most part. But Aaron Judge, basically by himself, has shown the spotlight back on baseball for a little bit. A little bit later on, we'll tell you maybe where the spotlight should be in baseball right now. There is another group in the majors doing something historical this season. We'll tell you about that toward the end of the hour. When we come back, Alex Caruso, who is not a guard on the Bulls. Rather, he writes for Fantasy Pros and does a little podcast there. That who's what who we're going to talk to next on the Fresh Fantasy Podcast. Alex coming up after this. We'll tell you what's going on the fantasy football field this coming weekend starting tonight. We'll do that right after this back on the 315 on QSportsTalk.com and ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. All across Central New York, it's the 315 with Brian Higgins.
Did you grow up on a tractor? Rolling along here on this Thursday afternoon. We're still reasonably certain of what day it is. We've been struggling, but Thursday Night Football is tonight, which means the day has to be Thursday. And with that, on our Thursday, that means Josh is here, because Josh is here on Thursdays. That's another good way to know what day of the week is. So we bring in Josh for the 411. His 411 is the Mets will won one of the most exciting games ever. So congrats to you and the Mets, Josh.
So much to say.
That just exploded your brain.
So much. First of all, what I wanted to say was it's just much easier to keep track of days of the week during football season.
Yes.
Because you know when things
Monday
are coming
night
up.
Football has to happen on Monday.
Right. The Tuesday-Wednesday part can be a little confusing, but you know when your Mondays are coming, you know when your Thursdays are coming, and then the weekend's the weekend.
It helps clear it up, yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, back to the Mets. Not only did Eduardo Escobar have the night of his life last night, shout out to C.J. Abrams, shout out to Josiah Gray, shout out to the Washington Nationals organization for beating the Atlanta Braves in 10 innings as well.
That was a big one, right?
Two big extra inning wins for the Mets in one night, pretty much happening at the same time as well. Just an unbelievable, unbelievable experience. I was going absolutely crazy last night, and it's just a Wednesday night in September. Who knows what I'm going to be like in October?
I'm nervous.
Me too.
I'm nervous to be around you in October. Mets fans are an interesting breed.
Very.
I have no problem with Mets fans, but there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of angst this time of year, and it heavily focuses on the month of October if you make the playoffs. Whatever year that was, they were in the World Series. I mean, a lot of angst. So we'll see how you're doing in a couple weeks. I'm concerned.
The thing that's interesting about this experience for me that's different than 15, not only is this team just so much better than 15, but there's the possibility of making the World Series and facing the Yankees, mm-hmm. which is just a whole different ballgame.
Are you worried about the Dodgers? I did have that stat earlier that apparently it turns out the Dodgers may be the best team of all time based on run differential.
They are pretty darn good, and I'm definitely afraid of them. I think the Dodgers are definitely a better team than the Mets. I don't think that means the Mets are necessarily going to lose to the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose that series in 6 or 7 games, I think I can come away from the season saying they did a lot of good things and progressed in the Cohen era, but I'm much more afraid of facing the Dodgers than whatever team comes out of the American League.
I'll say this. If the Mets win the World Series, I hope it is because Scherzer and DeGrom just go wild. Because I really enjoy when, like, starting pitchers just take over in the
postseason. Especially in October. Right.
Especially
it's
in October.
So fun.
Like, they don't let them do it anymore. Scherzer, good luck taking him out of a game.
Right.
Like, he ain't coming out. And that's great. I love it.
What's crazy was about a week and a half ago when they were playing in Milwaukee, his first game back from the injured list, he went 6 innings, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think like 68 pitches, something like that, and they pulled him after 6 innings. No arguments from him knowing it was the right thing to do. But it's going to be a completely different story in October, like you said. It doesn't matter how many pitches he's at. If he feels like he's going to go, he's going to keep going in October. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yes, always fun to watch him, and he's got the look on his face and the whole thing. It's just that's what postseason baseball is in my mind. All right, Josh, what else we got here today?
The other thing I wanted to bring up, another interesting race in Major League Baseball to pay attention to. Philly is now just a half game up on Milwaukee for the last wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
They are playing the Cubs right now as we speak. Last I checked, they were down 1-0. I'm going to check that again right now. They're still down 1-0. And if they lose this game, they're tied with Milwaukee with 6 games to play.
So if I have this right, and I don't know if I do because it's very hard to figure out baseball playoffs these days. There's a lot of teams. Whoever wins that and is the last wild card will play the Cardinals. Is that correct?
The Cardinals.
Correct. And then whoever basically loses, more likely than not, this Braves-Mets series this weekend will play the Padres.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
So it's possible. Now, we're not rooting for this. We're rooting for the Mets right now. It's possible you and Pauly could have a duel coming up if it's Mets-Padres in the first round.
Well, it wouldn't just be a duel between me and Pauly. It would be a duel between me and the other part of me from San Diego that roots for the Padres as well.
Oh, an internal duel.
It's going to be interesting. I still side with the Mets, but would be an interesting weekend for me, for sure.
I wasn't prepared for all that existential angst that's potentially coming Josh's way. I'm going to root for the Mets to beat the Braves this season so we don't have to deal with that.
Right.
I'm not prepared to deal with any.
I appreciate that.
Any of that. That's too much. That's just too much. I got to put you on the spot here. We need a pick. You're not going to have your gambling show this week. We got to get a pick. Give me something. Give me one thing. Tonight, this weekend, I don't care. Give me something we got to get here this week.
I like Cincinnati tonight. I think that's the pretty clear side to go with. I think Miami's defense is going to be tired. Giving you something this weekend, though, to have a little bit of fun, I really like the Oklahoma State money line against Baylor. I think that's a revenge game for them going down there. If you remember that Big 12 championship game from last year where Oklahoma State lost it by a yard, I think they're just going to come back motivated to get their revenge.
Is that in Stillwater or is that at Baylor?
At Baylor.
At Baylor. Okay, so you like Mike Gundy, who no longer has a mullet.
That is tough.
Going on the road. The lack of a mullet factor, I find disconcerting this week.
I did not factor that into my decision making.
No,
and I
mullet on the road.
That.
I feel mullet brings you a lot more road confidence.
Especially in Texas, too.
Yeah, he's bringing a mullet across the border, and he doesn't have it. I love Mike Gundy. A really good coach. That league's interesting. Like, nobody stinks, and nobody's great. It's the most balanced Power 5 league right now. You got no idea what's going to happen in that league, but you got OK State. On the game tonight, you look at all these things, and the main thing that's popped is this Miami's defense is tired. And you know what? Their offense, they didn't play a lot the last game. They're going to go out and put up a ton of points. But on a lot of these sites now, you get on your phone, you can take team over-unders. The number for just the Bengals tonight is 26.5.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. It's kind of nice. I do also just like the over in general as well. I think mm-hmm. it's 48.5. I think it gets there.
All right. You never know in these Thursday games. Like early years Thursday games, they all stunk. Like nobody could score points. They were all bad. But it was also usually the bad teams.
Right.
So like, here's the bad teams, short rest, have fun, everybody. Now they're putting good teams on Thursday night. Like, Al Michaels is on the air. Al needs good teams. I need Al to have a good game. That makes everything good in the football world to give us Al Michaels and good football. So hopefully we get that and lots of points tonight, and then I'll be happy regardless of what happens.
Couldn't agree with you more, but let's sneak in a Bengals cover in there as well.
Okay, we'll try to get that for you. And I know this about Al. He'll let you know in his own special way what has happened with the cover or the over-under.
That's for sure.
Late in the game, because Al is the best. All right, that is Josh's picks tonight. He'll be nervous about the Mets. Root for the Mets just for the sake of Josh's health and well-being this weekend, which we approve of Josh's health and well-being.
I appreciate that.
All right, that's, yeah. We're not rooting for the Mets. We're rooting for you to make it through this weekend. All right,
we're
going to hit a break. As we do, you know our phone number. It's 315-437-7644. That's 4ESPN44. I have hot and not my hands because tickets are not in hands anymore. They'll be emailed to you if you win. I have a trivia question to get you two tickets to the Wagner game this weekend. The Wagner game this weekend. My question is this, is what is, based on cost sold for, who is featured on the most expensive baseball card in history? This somehow is tying together everything, essentially, we've been talking about. Who is on the most expensive baseball card in history? Line up your calls. We'll get you on the air with the answer when we come back. First one to answer it, live with us. Two tickets to the Wagner game. Again, 315-437-7644. That is 4ESPN44. The most expensive card in baseball history. Who is featured on it? We'll do that. Give away some tickets when we come back. All right, after this, it's the 315 on QSportsTalk.com and ESPN Radio.